Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, and we'll read the first four verses together. We'll read these responsively. You join me as we come to the second verse. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 4. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit on you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whether I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to gather together in a country where we have the freedom. We can have a man of God come and preach the word of God to us, and we can listen. I pray that our hearts now would be tuned to your word. I pray that you would help us to listen the way we ought to. Lord, do something in our lives. Use our preacher. Give him your power as he speaks to us. May we be more like you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for all you do for us. Amen. Not bad. That's just the first time to sing. You can't expect much more. Thank you, men, so very much. This morning is a wonderful morning for me. This morning I celebrate my fifth anniversary as being your pastor, and you have suffered through 5 years of having me. And I'm so pleased that I'm able to share this time with you. Someone said that it takes 5 years for a church to totally transition into understanding that the man that stands in the pulpit is their pastor. I mentioned that to Dr. Smith, the previous pastor. I mentioned that to him a year or so ago, and he said, "Preacher, I think we went through the transition in far less time than that. It only took a few months, and we were on our way." That is probably the case, and I'm honored to be able to say that. The whole sermon this morning is about my fifth anniversary. I hope that you'll stay with me and that you'll listen as I speak to you from my heart. I want to be a good pastor. I really do. It is the passion of my life. I don't want to be anything else. I don't want to be a politician. I don't want to be a millionaire. And thanks to all of you, that'll never happen. I want to do what I'm doing. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want God's leadership in my life. It's what I want. It's what I think of from the time that I get up in the morning to the time that I go to bed at night. It's even what I dream about. It's on my mind continuously, meeting your needs and being to you what God needs me to be. Earlier, we read from Jeremiah chapter number 23. In that passage of Scripture, the Lord is talking to and about pastors and pastoring in a group of people. He says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy people." I never want to be the kind of pastor that hurts people. I want to be the kind of pastor that helps people. He said, "Woe be unto that pastor that pushes people away from the church." Now, our goal here is to draw people into the church. As we were reading there, you'll see in verse number 3, God said, "I'll help you get a shepherd, and that shepherd or pastor will help you to be fruitful in your life. He'll help you to increase in your life." And he's talking about increasing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ and increasing in your ability to serve him and increasing in your emotional ability to take the hardships of life. In this case, I help you even increase in how much weight you've gained because of my stupid little ideas about Crumpy's donuts and caramel-filled ho-hos and ice cream and everything else. But we're increasing around here, and that's what God said it was supposed to be like. In verse number 4, as we read, it said, God said, I'll help you get a pastor, and that pastor will feed you. He'll help you with your fears. He'll help you with your confusions. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 15, the Bible says this, and I will give you a pastor according to mine heart. In other words, God said, when he selects a pastor, he said, I'm going to give you a pastor based on my heart. What's that mean? God said, based on my heart, I will give you a pastor. I don't think I can totally explain that to you, but I know this. Based on God's heart, God made me your pastor. We had an election. I understand that's not anywhere in the Bible. But, I'm glad that we did. I don't have any problem with that. You helped to select me as pastor. But I have to tell you something. I was appointed by God from his heart to be your pastor. That's how God did it. A pastor is given from the heart of God. On June 1, 2002, I officially became the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. This was 5 years ago. We have been in a perpetual revival ever since. 260-week revival. 1,825 days of excitement, thrill, challenge, and blessing from God. Today we celebrate our fifth anniversary as pastor and people. On March the 27th of that same year, 2002, on a Wednesday night, I preached a sermon here that was my candidacy sermon to become or to possibly become the pastor. That candidacy sermon was unlike any that you have ever heard in your life. It was entitled, Please Don't Vote for Me. You say, that's odd. Indeed, it was. Please don't vote for me. That night, a 98% positive vote was given to me and my family to come here and to be the new pastor and the pastor's family of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. 98% is almost unheard of, and God knows it was a miracle evening. Oh, that sermon, please don't vote for me. See, let me tell you why I preached that sermon. Usually when a man wants a church, he tries to impress the people into calling him. Almost, if we're not careful, it becomes too human. It becomes too social. It becomes too, I like you, you like me. That's just like two people. I don't think two people ought to get married because they have just a physical attraction. I think it ought to be the will of God, and I think it ought to be what God wants in the Scripture. Yeah, there are people in here dating folks right now. It is not the will of God. You have an attraction, but it's not the will of God. You say, why? Well, them or you are not right with God and have no interest in the things of God, and you're about to do what you want instead of what God wants. I didn't want to come here and do what I wanted, and the truth is, I didn't want to come here and do what you wanted. I wanted it to be the will of God. Many preachers, if they want to impress somebody, what they'll do is the candidate will preach a sugar stick sermon. See, he's got this sermon that he's worked on for years, and it's a hot one, and it's got all the right flip, the switches that you flip in it, and they'll get up and preach that to try to win the hearts of the people so they'll like him enough to call him. Well, I have to tell you, I did not use that approach. I prepared a sermon just for the cause or for the purpose of my candidacy. I was not desperate for having this church. I was only desperate for the will of God.
Amen.
That's a desperation in my life. I want the will of God. I want it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I want it when I face heartaches, and I want it when I'm laughing. I want the will of God. See, I was not desperate for this church. There were nearly 30 other churches that had contacted me and asked me to come and candidate to be their pastor. You see, I pretty well had it made where I was at. I had the respect of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I'd been asked to be the new president of Hiles Anderson College. They virtually begged me and my family to stay there, and that's where I was before I came here. I didn't have to go anywhere, but I had to do the will of God. Oh, I wish for you that you wanted the will of God. I wish for you that you wanted it day in and day out, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. I wish that you wanted the will of God as a passion so that constantly you were chasing after the will of God and the power of God in your life. My sermon, please don't vote for me. I told the people, I said, hey, don't vote for me unless you know some things. Don't vote for me. I said, don't vote for me unless you know the bigness of this move for me. You see, I knew that I had, from wherever I went through, oh, I don't know, maybe 75 years of age, that I could pastor. And I knew this. I knew I needed to only make one change and then go to that place and stay there the rest of my life. I had one chance to be used of God, and I wanted to pick that exact will of God so wherever I moved, I could stay the rest of my life and God could do a work. I wanted you to understand. That's how I felt about it. My family, we wanted to go to one place and stay, come hell or high water, no matter what the devil threw at us, we wanted to go and stay there, a place that we could call home. A place where Mrs. Owens and I know. A place where I could grow old and Mrs. Owens could grow young. A place where our children could come and marry and we could raise our kids and our grandkids. That's what we were looking for. I wanted this church to know the reason I preached a sermon called Please Don't Vote for Me. I wanted everyone that was at the church at that time to understand the magnitude of the move for me. I wanted you to understand the magnitude of the move for you. I didn't want to come someplace where I would be opposed and you would have a bad spirit and maybe I would develop a bad spirit where we couldn't get along and we couldn't work as a team to do the will of God. I wanted to go someplace where I could take the kind of stand that I feel like God would have me to take on the Word of God and you would like it. What in the world's the use of a man going to a church and trying to pastor a church where nobody believes what he teaches from the Bible? What a waste of time. How ridiculous. I didn't want that. I didn't want it. Why walk into a mess like that? So I preached a sermon called Please Don't Vote for Me. It was not a trick. It was not psychology. It was as sincere as I knew how to be. An old wise preacher once told me this. He said, Jeff, he said, one of the hardest parts about the ministry and the hardest parts about being a pastor was that every week of your church, somebody's still voting on you. They're still deciding in their heart. They're still in their mind deciding whether they like you or not. They're still deciding whether they'll follow you or not. They're still deciding in their heart and in their mind whether they're coming back here or not, if they're going to be loyal or not. You see, you have to understand something. 97% of this church is made up of volunteers. I mean, most everybody that sits in these pews today, they sit here out of their own free will. They're not forced to come here. Not everybody. See, 3% of this place is made up of my staff. They're the paid people that come here. The other 97% are all volunteers that they choose whether they want to be here or not. Now, not everybody is spiritually mature enough to show commitment, loyalty, and resolve about their church and their pastor. Someone is always deciding, do they like this preacher? Do they like this church? Do they like this preaching? Will they be loyal? Will they be committed? Will they be stable? So there are a lot of people like this. Some people do it virtually every week. Come in here. I don't like him. This old wise preacher said to me, he said, Jeff, he said, you are going to have a tough heart to be able to take it knowing every week somebody's redeciding about whether they'll follow or not. You're going to have a tough heart to be able to take it. That one week they're with you and the next week they're not. Oh, it's rare that I deal with that sort of thing around here. But he said, hey, your wife will have to be tough. Your family will have to be tough. Your emotions will have to be tough. There's an instability about the human race that they don't understand commitment and locking into something that's right and just standing for it. He told me, as pastor, I would always be on trial with somebody. For instance, there are a whole bunch of people in here that I just know for a fact they're loyal and faithful and they're here to stay. But yet, there are some that haven't decided. And I understand that. And if you have not decided, I'm your friend. I'm not going to try to make you decide. I'll let you do what's right. But I know that. So I've been here for 5 years. and have not made the transition to saying, that's my preacher, that's my church, I'm here to stay. I know that. I'm not going to make you make that decision. But I know that. Man, you have to understand. That can be tough on the heart. That's a touchy thing. I want you to know that, so you know, though there might be some that have not totally accepted me as pastor, I have totally accepted you as my people. There's nobody here that I would not love you, help you, and serve you. I've accepted the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, its people, this city, this county, this state. This is my home. This is where I want to be. I love this place. The sermon that I preached, it was entitled, Please Don't Vote for Me. How many of you were here that night and you heard me preach that sermon? Would you raise your hand? Hundreds. God bless you. Thank you so much for voting for me. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. The happiest days of our lives, my wife and I, we love it here. We were fearful when we left our home, back home again in Indiana. But that's not my home anymore. I was there for almost 18 years at one church. We were fearful. But honey, you know and I know, God did something miraculous. He not only moved our bodies, He moved our hearts. He moved our hearts. You have my heart. There's not another people on the face of the earth that I'd rather be with. There's not another place in the world I'd rather be. Brother Smith, I love it here, and you were right. I love it here. Thank God for your leadership in those days. You were wiser than I. You saw what I did not see, and I thank you for that. Today, I will preach a sermon entitled, Please Do Vote for Me. Please do vote for me. This is my candidacy sermon, but it's got a little bit of a different twist to it today. I want your vote. I love this church. I want your vote. I love you as an individual. I want your vote. I love Martinsburg, West Virginia. This is my home. I love the tattoo people that hang around the bridge out by my house. I seen somebody that was pierced in so many places, I bet when they jump in the river, they leak from every orifice of their body. I love Berkeley County. I love this four-state region. I love the East Coast. I love West Virginia. You know, when I travel the country and people make a little poke at me, say, yeah, you with the hillbillies, it almost makes me want to sock them in the nose when I know they're serious about it. So I'm a little redneck rage. I'm catching on, you know. I'll take out my knife and stick you, man. My family and I, we want your vote. I want to be buried here. Now, for my enemies, no time soon. No time soon, but I want to be buried here. I preached a sermon that night 5 years ago in March of 2002 called Please Don't Vote for Me. Please stay with me for just a little while I preach a fifth anniversary sermon called Please Do Vote for Me. Please do vote for me. These are some of the things I said that night. Many of you have heard the sermon on tape or CD, but hundreds of you were here that evening when I preached it in person. This is what I told the people, but yet a little bit of a different twist. Number one, please do vote for me if you believe in salvation by grace through faith. You see, a vote for this pastor, I hope it stays this way, was a vote for the old-time religion. I'm an old-time religion preacher. That's what I am. I don't know anything else. To be honest, I don't want to know anything else. The only kind of salvation I know of is salvation by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I don't believe you're saved by works. I believe you're saved by grace. I don't believe that you can lose your salvation for any reason. I believe I'm secure in the Beloved, and He saved me, and He saved me forever. I believe you get to heaven by accepting the free gift called salvation, and any other salvation taught anywhere is heresy and out of hell. You see, please do vote for me if you believe in salvation by grace through faith. Number two, please do vote for me if you believe Jesus was virgin born. I believe Mary was a virgin. I believe she had never had a physical relationship with any man. And when Jesus Christ came forth out of the womb of that gal, that the seed had been placed in her by God Himself, and God is the Father of Jesus Christ. Joseph was not. Isaiah 7:14 said, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Please do vote for me if you believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Number three, please do vote for me if you do believe in baptism after salvation by immersion. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." You see, Brother Brett, we're going to use this. I believe that after you get saved, as a step of obedience, you ought to get baptized. You ought to get baptized in deep water. That's what the Bible teaches. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a gift. It's accepted freely from Jesus Christ. After you get saved, you ought to obey God, and the first step of obedience is you ought to get dunked under the water as a picture of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you believe that way, please vote for me, because that's what the Bible teaches. I believe that you get to heaven by the gift of salvation, and you get the blessing of God by obedience after you accept that gift. Let me say this. I do believe that you ought to be baptized. There are people in here, you've been saved, and you've never followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Get it taken care of today. There are blessings that are not coming into your life because you've never followed the Lord in believers' baptism. You just later on will have an old-fashioned altar call. When we do, walk down the aisles, say to one of the men down front, "I've already been saved. I need to be baptized." We'll put you under the water once and for all. I don't mean we're going to keep you under the water, but we'll get you baptized and get you on your way to obedience. Please do vote for me. Please do. Please do vote for me. Number four, if you believe in a real hell and a real heaven. You see, Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." Now, I hate to tell you this, but I must, because it is the truth of the Word of God. There is a hell. There is a hell. And that's why at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we don't have a summer slump, we have a summer jump. You see, we believe that the Bible teaches there's a place called hell, and people that don't get saved, they die and they go there. And they go there in the summer as well as during the winter and the spring. And I believe in a place called hell. And folks, we've got to keep on preaching hell. You say, but it scares people. It ought to scare people. Nobody ought to want to burn in hell for all eternity. And if someone does not realize that Jesus Christ is a Savior, they don't realize they're a sinner and that there is a penalty for their sin, if they don't realize that Jesus paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and resurrection, if they don't turn to Jesus Christ and ask Him to come into their heart and save them, when they die, they will go to hell. They will burn for all eternity. Hey, please do vote for me if you believe in hell. Please do vote for me if you believe in a real heaven. If you believe in a real heaven. You see, I believe in a real heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 10, the Bible says, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." Let me tell you something. I have been the pastor of this church for 5 years. Brother Smith, I've never been in a church or even heard of a church that's had over 50 deaths in 5 years. We have buried, I think, 55 of our people in 5 years. People that used to say amen, that used to sit right where you are, that used to be greeters and deacons and workers in this church, 55 people have passed on. But let me tell you something, they didn't just go into the grave. They went to a place where the worm can't get to them, and moth and rust doth not corrupt. We've got 55 members up in heaven letting everybody know we're sending another truckload in years to come. We got all sorts of people that were getting saved. 55 people. But let me tell you something, I believe in a heaven. I believe in a heaven where a man like Paul Mongan won't have his legs cut off anymore. What a great man. And he tried so hard to come to church this morning. He's my business manager here at the church. Let me tell you something. Paul had a couple legs cut off, but one of these days, Paul's going to enter glory. He's going to have all his legs again, and he'll have his hair too. I believe in a place called hell. I believe in a place called heaven. Please do vote for me if you believe in a real heaven. Please do vote for me if you believe in a real hell. Please do. Please vote for me. Not only that, number five, please do vote for me if you believe in the Godhead being a triune Godhead, or you believe in the Trinity. Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, go ye into all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches that we have one God, but there are three parts to that God. You say, explain it. God's way too big to totally be explained. It just said there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I believe that. And that settles that. I believe we have one God and there are three parts to Him. And we don't have to understand it. I'm glad I've got a God that's so big you can't totally understand Him. But I believe in the Trinity of God. Please do vote for me. Please do. Number six, please do vote for me if you believe in the local New Testament Baptist Church. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. That's what's on the sign. When I came to this church, I understood I was coming to a Baptist church. Not by choice, but by conviction. Independent means they're not controlled by anyone but God. We're not a part of a denomination here. No, we have no denominational ties. We give answer directly to the God of the universe. We are an independent Baptist church. Now, we're a fundamental independent Baptist church. You know, what's that mean? We believe in the fundamentals of the Bible. Now, not everything that calls itself a fundamentalist is. We believe that old black book. We believe the fundamentals of that book. We're not looking for any new guidance. We've got the old guidance, that right there. There's nothing new under the sun. We're an old-time religion church, and I make no qualms about that. Hey, when I preached the first sermon called, please don't vote for me, I think you all knew where I stood. I wasn't trying to trick anybody. Wasn't trying to fool anybody. We're fundamental. We believe the fundamentals of the Bible. And we believe in fundamental methods and fundamental doctrines. It says Baptist. Now, I'm not just a Baptist in belief. I'm a Baptist. Some people say, well, I got Baptist belief. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist with Baptist belief. B-A-P-T-I-S-T. Did I spell that right, Brother Nash? Thank you. Thank you. But, hey, you know who baptized Jesus? John the what? Baptist. Was it John the Methodist? No. Was it John the Lutheran? No. Hey, Baptist was not his last name. Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist. Now, put that in your computer and see what comes out the other end. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Baptist, and I'm not ashamed of that. Please do vote for me if you're an old-time independent fundamental Baptist. Number seven, please do vote for me if you are a strict King James Bible believer. I use no other. I use the King James Bible. Hey, you all notice something? Nothing's changed about me in the last 5 years. I told you this when I got here. Had you checked for the previous 20 years, we would have found out this is exactly what I stand for. And 20 years from now, I'll preach another one. And if I've got any sense in my head, I'll be right where I was when I started at 16. I'm not changing. I am, and I'm not ashamed of what I am. I don't try to fool anybody. I don't try to fool anybody about what I am. There's no sense in that. I know pastors actually try to trick people into their church. I'm not tricking anybody. You won't. Hey, there are a bunch of people who come see me and say, what do you believe? They just don't do that. They know what I believe. That's what this pulpit is for. This pulpit is to preach the Word of God and tell people where you stand and what you are and that for which you fight. I believe the King James Bible. I believe the King James Bible is not one of many, but it is one of a kind. It is inspired perfectly by God. There are no mistakes in it. The words are inspired. The thoughts are inspired. You see, God told us that we were to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And for us to do that, there has to be an every word Bible. God had it preserved in the English language in every word Bible. I believe it's the King James Bible. That's where I stand. That's where I die. That's it. Number eight, please do vote for me if you want a soul-winning church. If you want a soul-winning church. Now look, if there's a real heaven, and if there's a real hell, we better keep people out of that hell. I don't know what all these other churches out there think they're supposed to be doing, but I'll tell you one thing. If there really is a heaven, and if there really is a hell, we better do everything we can to keep people out of hell. I really believe there's a hell. There are people there burning right now. And I really believe there's a heaven. And there are people there in the joy and the bliss of the Lord. And if that be the case, I'm telling you something, folks, we better keep people out of hell. That's what the old time church is all about. That's what God, hey, when God saved us, He left us here. Had
he wanted to. God could have saved us, killed us, took us to heaven, but he did not. You say, why didn't he take us? We are to be the workforce to go to a lost and dying world and keep them out of a hell that's hot and get them to a heaven that's real. And I am an old-time, soul-winning Baptist preacher. I believe, and it's not just the job of the pastoral staff. It's all of us. All of us. If not, God should have killed you and taken you on. But he didn't. He left you to hear. Why? To be a part of the workforce. We're to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's the duty of every Christian. And if you won't go soul winning, you're still welcome here. I heard a preacher say one time, you won't go soul winning. Get out of my pew and let me put a soul winner. I don't agree with that. If you won't go soul winning, you just keep coming in here and plunking her down there, babe. But I'll keep shooting at you, trying to get you to witness for your Savior. I'd rather have you as a target than nothing as a target. Some of you are easier to hit than others. It's not just a preacher's job to keep people out of hell. It's a Christian's job. Oh, have we seen God save people? Oh, and this was a soul winning church before I came here, and thank God for that. In the last 5 years, listen to this. You know, there have been 4,298 people walk the aisle in these services, in this auditorium, making public profession in Jesus Christ. Almost 1,500 of them follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Tens of thousands saved outside this auditorium. I'm talking about out on the streets, soul winning. Can you understand that? Do you understand we're approaching 5,000 people in the last 5 years walking the aisles of this church? You understand that's almost 100 a month, and they just keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. Hey, we got to keep people out of hell. We got to keep people out of hell. Hey, please do vote for me if you want a soul-winning church. Number 9, please do vote for me if you're for world missions. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations. We're to go to all the world, the Bible says. We're to start here at home with our soul winning, and then we're to branch out. We're to reach, our county. We're to help reach the United States of America. But then we are to reach to regions beyond, and we're to reach out to the people that we can't get to ourselves and support foreign missions. We have, in the last 5 years, we have taken on 25 new missionaries to support them. In the last 5 years, we've hired our missions director. In the last 5 years, we've started our own mission board. We have raised over $500,000 in the last 5 years to give and support foreign missions and the soul winning cause. Hey, please vote for me if you're for an aggressive missions program. We want to get everybody saved all around the world that we can. Let me say to you, number 10, please do vote for me if you want to be good to the poor. Hey, this isn't a church just for the highfalutin and the rich. This is a church for everybody. Hey, people, see, I don't believe souls have an economic status. I don't believe that for a second. We're going to be good to the poor. We're going to feed them. We're going to love them. We're going to clothe them. We're going to be tolerant of some of their behavior. We should help them, even if they can't contribute to our church. I know some churches say, well, if you can't give in, we're not going to give out. I don't believe that. I think we're going to help people, and we're going to love people. And the Bible teaches we're to be good to the poor. So you might as well go ahead and get used to that. You say, well, Brother Owens, there's this person come to our church right now, and they're a little bit embarrassing. The way they look and the way they act and the way they dress and they smell a little bit, they're as welcome here as you are. Jesus Christ did not just die for the people that smell good. Jesus Christ did not just die for the people that have enough money to have a nice car. This is an old-time religion church. Jesus is an old-time religion God, and we happen to believe red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight, rich or poor. It does not matter to us. That's the kind of church this is. Please, do vote for me if you believe that. Please, do vote for me, number 11, if you're willing for us to help the fallen. The fallen in our community, they need us. The fallen, they need us. Oh, I love it. 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 You wouldn't believe. You would not believe. Pastors even in this area. Man, they don't even believe the way we believe. Oh, about once every 2 months, somebody will come to my office door and I'll say, and who are you? And they'll say, I'm thus and so. And I'll say, how can I help you? And I'll have someone come in and say, well, my pastor said if I'd come here, you'd know how to help me. So where do you go to church? Well, I go in church, this church in town, I won't mention any names. Our pastor said that you know how to help people with my problem. I'd like word to get spread. I'd like word to get around. This is a place where you get help. This is where we'll save your marriage. This is that place where you help. We'll help your kids. Yeah, this is a spiritual hospital. We're here to help heal up people. You see, I believe that the people in the community, they need what we have. And I want to reach them and I want to help them. And so, please, vote for me if you want a church that helps the fallen. You know, some people, all they want are all those that are cleaned up and fixed up and they look just so. I've got news for you. That's not the whole crowd that followed Jesus around. I mean, he had a pretty rough crew from time to time. Hey, the fallen in the community need our help. The fallen in our church need our help. I've said this before. Young people, you stay pure. You stay clean. And I'll say it again today. I think you ought to come to the wedding altar virgin. That's what I think. But you say, Brother Owens, it's too late for that. Okay, you stay clean from here on out then. You just stay clean from here on out. But I'll tell you something. I believe that you ought to be virgin and clean and pure. You should have no type of a sexual relationship with anybody unless you're married to them. Anything else is fornication or adultery. And everybody here, some of you adults remember that. You teenagers remember that. You children remember that. Everybody here remember that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you make a mistake... And young lady, if you find yourself pregnant before you're married, you come see your preacher and I'll help you. I will not forsake you. You say, well, you're condoning sin. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You can just thank God you didn't get pregnant before your time because you were sleeping with people before you were married. You better remember the pit from whence you were digged. Ah, the Pharisees of religion. I believe in living holy. I believe in living separate from the world, but I also believe in loving the fallen. I believe in helping them and being kind and generous and doing what we can. I will throw a fit about holiness, and then I will help the fallen. And we will love them. And we will be good to them. And we will rebuild their life. I'll say it again. I'll say it to everybody here. As long as I'm in my right mind, I'll never give up on you. I will never give up on you. As long as you're still breathing air, this preacher will help you. I'll try to help you rebuild your life. I don't care what kind of a mess you make of it. You say, but preacher, you warned me. You warned me. You told me not to, and I did anyway. I know I've warned lots of people, but it wasn't my warning. It was the Lord's. It is the Lord that you didn't listen to. What right would I have to look at you like a Pharisee? He's given me warnings that I've broken. But he just kept loving me. He kept growing me. And what right would I have to behave any different than our Savior and our God? Hey, please vote for me if you're for reaching the fallen. Please vote for me if you believe in forgiveness for someone's wrong. Please vote for me if you believe that somebody ought to be given a second chance. Number 12, please do vote for me if you do believe in ecclesiastical separation. The word ecclesiastical, it is a Greek word, ekklesia, which is, it's the word church. This means church separation. I don't join up with every kind of a so-called religious organization. They either believe according to that book or we're not going to have anything to do with them. You see, we don't practice religion around here. We practice Christianity around here. And there is a difference. Some people think that anything that says church, Jesus, God, or Bible, that it's right. And that is not true. You look all the way through the old black book, and they're constantly warning you not to get yoked up with the wrong kinds of religion. I have not joined the local ministerial assassination, nor will I. And they've not really invited me, and I don't know why. We won't have Easter sunrise services with the other churches in town. We're not going to do that. I don't even fellowship with all Baptists because some people hang Baptists out on their sign, but they don't believe the old time way. And you better watch out. It's happening more and more and more. Not everything that calls itself Baptist is not right with God. We better work at making sure we stay right with God. Hey, please do vote for me. Please do vote for me if you're willing to help build this church and don't require it of just me and my staff. Please do vote for me if you're willing to help us build this church. And you don't just leave it to the pastor and his staff. It's going to take us all. Don't think that I'm a miracle worker. I'm not. I am not a miracle worker. No one man brings revival in a briefcase to church with him and pops the lid open and suddenly the revival angels fly all over the place and it's easy. No, it takes work. It takes, hey, and if you're a member of this church, you ought to be helping us build this church, not tearing it down. Building it. You ought to be, everybody in that balcony up there, your testimony should never hurt this church. You ought to be pitching in. Everybody on this lower floor, you ought to be pitching in and helping your church. If you're a member of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, this is not my church, it's our church. And we're all going to be pitching in. We shouldn't make this place go backwards, we ought to make it go forward. You see, if you expect me to build this church all by myself or my staff to do it all by ourselves, then we're pretty well done growing. We're done reaching the lost. All the things that you were saying amen to, and on the inside you're saying, I agree, I agree, I agree. Well, if you agree, then you grab you a pitchfork and you grab you a shovel and a pick and join in and help us build something around here. If you agree, you see, it takes all of us. I'm not a miracle worker, and oh, have we as a team unified to do the work of God. You know, there's some things that God has done. We started our Saturday morning soul winning meeting at 9 a.m. Thank God. God, we pulled together to do that. That's something new. We started our new ladies Tuesday soul winning. And dozens and dozens of ladies coming out on Tuesday. You know that we have over 100 people every week. I'm going to guess it's near about 200 going out soul winning every week of the year. Our bus ministry, it takes teamwork. It takes teamwork. Some of you bus captains, it's time for you to be a good example to the workers now. Show up, be in your place. It takes teamwork. The grounds ministry, it takes teamwork. The music ministry, it takes teamwork. The youth ministry, it takes teamwork. My staff, I have 40 full and part-time workers. But you know, when 1,000 people are on this property almost every Sunday, you know, that means there ought to be 960 other people throwing their hat in the ring and saying, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And we work very hard to give many, many opportunities for people to be able to do something for God. Please vote for me if you don't want to, if you're willing to pitch in and help do the work of God. Number 14, please do vote for me if you're pro-family. I am for the family. I believe in husbands and wives. I do not believe people ought to live together. And if you're living together, I'm not your enemy. I am not your enemy. But I want to tell you what the Bible says. You're not supposed to live together. You're supposed to be married. Bible calls it two people living together. That's called fornication. You say, are you mad at me? No, I'm not. I'm your friend. I love you. I'll help you. But you're supposed to get married. I'm for the family. I'm for marriages that stay together through thick and thin. I'm for rearing godly children. You know, I have preached over 100 sermons on the family in 5 years. Because a church is no stronger than its families, and a country is no stronger than its churches. And if you want to help America, you work at your family. You'll be here on Wednesday night when we'll continue talking about the subject of helping our children to be godly. Hey, please do vote for me if you're for the family. Please do vote for me if you believe in the bus ministry. I believe in the bus ministry. This is a little connection back to that thing of reaching the poor. Not everybody has the money to get to church. Not everybody, hey, and not all kids can get to church. Mom and dad don't come. And to all the bus kids, every one of them. Now, I know most of them are over in junior church and primary church, but everybody that rode a bus to church this morning, you're looking at a preacher, I'll do everything I can to keep your bus running. I'll cut the air conditioning off in this church before I'll stop running your bus because gas gets up to $4 a gallon. To all of you that say, I'm for God, and I'm for the bus ministry, and I'm for soul winning. Well, if the bus gas gets so high, we'll cut the air conditioning, we'll put candles out for electricity before we'll stop bringing the poor kids. Now we'll find out, those of you got money in your back pocket, if we're snooty enough for you. So you believe it that much? Yes, I do. I believe it that much. I believe in the bus ministry. We now have a total of 14 different bus routes. Oh, now, so you understand, the bus ministry is not the biggest attendance in our church. They'll run 300, 330, 340. There's another 600 or 700 people still coming to this church. Don't get the wrong idea. And out of that 300, 340, over 100 of them are bus workers. But we are for reaching the poor. We're for giving people transportation to church. You see those beautiful red, white, and blue buses out there? Those are nice. We're working on painting up some more. We have over 100 bus workers. We just started our new bus worker and Saturday soul winning nursery. Thank God for Wanda and a way for the bus workers to be able to put their children in nursery care while they're out soul winning. We hired our assistant bus director to help Brother Bajan. We just added 12 brand new bus workers this week. Do vote for me if you're for the bus ministry. Please do vote for me. If you're for the bus ministry, please do vote for me if you just are sold out on the old-time religion. I'm talking about the old-time religion of John R. Rice and Beecham Vick, Lester Roloff, and R.G. Lee, and J. Frank Norris, Jack Pyle, Billy Sunday, D.L. Moody. I'm for the old-time religion. That's what I am. I'm not going to follow this. There's virtually a young yuppie type of a Christianity out there. I'm not interested in that. I'm not a yuppie. There's no lace on my underclothes, nor will there be. I spit while I preach. I tell hillbilly jokes and blonde jokes. I do some of those things that to some of those yuppie professional polished people, they go, oh, they cringe when I'm around. I do it on purpose. I'm old-time religion. I believe you ought to shout sometimes when you preach. I believe every once in a while the Holy Ghost of God ought to get down inside you till you're running and kicking and snorting and spitting and even saying something that make people go, ooh, I'm like that. I'm like that. Old-time religion. Hey, please do vote for me if you want our church to reach more people. Our church is all about people. Thank God for these chandeliers, and we paid a lot of money, and thank God for the men and the people that helped us to put these chandeliers up here. Thank God for the work that you put into this. Those chandeliers don't mean a lick to me. People do. Thank God for these beautiful pews, $80,000 worth of pews, $100,000 worth of new carpeting. I couldn't even begin to quote all the electrical, the PA equipment, all that God's done in this place. But all of it would have been worth one lost soul coming to Jesus Christ. You see, it's all about people. I thank God we want to keep reaching people. Thank God we've started our deaf classes, the talking hands class, a Sunday school class for children, our Soaring Eagles adult Sunday school class for the deaf. We're going to reach the young and reach the old. We're going to reach the mentally handicapped or the autistic. We added our class called the Pathfinder class, which is for autistic adult men. And we added our class called the Joy Bringers class. That's our new special needs class for autistic children. Hey, I'm for that. We're going to keep that going, and those things are going to grow. Please do vote for me if you want to reach people. Please do vote for me if you want to pray for me. I need your prayers. I need your prayers. I want your prayers. You know, there are people in this church, and you're so good to me. People always giving me gifts and kindnesses. And I'll tell you something. I'll trade it all in to know that people in this church would pray. And just pray for me. Man said to me recently, Brother Owens, I'm going to pray and fast for you one day a week for the next many weeks and months. Boy, what a gift. See, my life's all about God. It's all about God's power and God's work. Please pray for me. I thank you for my salary, and I don't want any more money. I'm not looking for a raise. You don't have to give me kind. You don't have to give me anything. But if you'd pray for us, my wife, me, my family, well, I'll take that. I'll take all that I can get. Please do vote for me. Please do vote for me if you want a pastor who influences the nation. I didn't ask to travel the country. I didn't ask for that. I've never asked for a speaking engagement in my life. And to be honest, I don't understand people that do it. I really don't. I believe God knows where I am, and if God wants to send somebody my way, He will. I've never called anybody and said, hey, can I come speak for you? Mrs. Costa would tell you, I turn them down. I mean, virtually by the dozens, I must turn them down. My schedule is full all the way through, halfway through 2009. But for some reason, God's allowed me that. I've tried not to cheat you in my preaching. I've tried to help our church. While I travel a couple of days every other week or so, I've tried not to cheat our church. I think our church has done well in the last 5 years. Never do I miss Sundays. Never do I miss Wednesdays. I'd walk back from Florida if I had you to be here. I believe in being in my church. The East Coast Ladies Conference. 1,200 last year in attendance. Over 120 churches here. The Old Paths Conference. And what an excellent start. I believe somehow God wants to take a church in Martinsburg, West Virginia and influence our country. You see, brother, we can't change America. I don't know, but I'm going to give it a shot. I want my grandkids, I want my granddaughter Alexander to grow up in the America that I grew up in. I want to be controlled by the communists and the sodomites and all the filth. Hey, please do vote for me if you're for masculine men. You all going to have to just accept it. I have a real hard time with sissy men. Men learn to walk like a man. Talk like a man. Hey, please do vote for me if you're for feminine women. I'm for feminine women. I'm for ladies dressing and acting like women. I'm not going to change. I know where I came from. A bunch of you came from the same era that I came from in your thinking. The Bible's not changed and neither have I. Please do vote for me if you want old-time religion in our church. You want old-time religion music in our church. We're not going to have any rock bands around here. We're not going to have any contemporary music around here. We're not going to have any of that uncontrollable can music where they make tapes and recordings everywhere, but you can't pull all the garbage out of it. We're not going to use that. And what a music program God has given us. Thank God God gave us Greg Nash. I think the finest evangelistic song leader in the United States of America is that man sitting right there. He doesn't look like it, but he is. We've added in our music program here, we've added our junior choir and our primary choir and our teen choir. And just so you all know, you say, but don't say, yeah, it looks so easy. It's not as easy as it looks. You don't understand what it takes to start all the programs and finance them and organize them and make sure they're done right. The junior choir, the primary choir, the teen choir, we've doubled. Hey, we opened this choir loft up as much as we can. I believe we've virtually doubled the number of people that are sitting in our choir. We have seven. In the last 5 years, we've added seven quartets. We've added four trios, four duets, 15 soloists, four ensembles, 12 pianists. We've added the additional, all the instrumentalists that come and play their flute and their trumpet, etc. We have three new organists and we have two private piano teachers. I believe in the old time religion and the old time music, and that's where we're going here. Please do vote for me if you're for Christian education. I believe that kids need Christian education. I believe they need teachers that are in agreement with the church's doctrine. I believe that. I believe the church ought to run the school and the school should not run the church. I believe that our kids ought to get a good education. Thank God for Dr. Bush, and you ought to pray for him. He is very sick. He's been sick for days. You pray for him. He's not here today. Hey, in our school, we added five grade school cheerleading squads. We've added five grade school basketball teams, four high school volleyball teams, or it might be five now, and we've got a student body that is made up of independent fundamental Baptists, and we fixed up our school office over here and made it so we had an independent school office. Hey, please do vote for me. Do vote for me if you're willing to let people grow in the church. New Christians can't be expected to become overnight successes. They need our patience. They need our tenderness. They need our guidance. Some of you that have grown some, you be careful how you handle the new Christians. Please do vote for me if you want church growth. And I'm talking about two kinds of church growth. I want us to grow spiritually. I preached a sermon, I think it was last Sunday morning, on convictions. I want you to know what the Bible says and live what the Bible says and do what you do because the Bible says it. Not because somebody told you to, unless that somebody is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to grow numerically. You realize that it's not been that many months ago here on one Sunday morning, we had 1,405 people in Sunday school. A high day of 1,473 people. You know, we had almost 700 people just a few months ago on a Wednesday night right here in this church. Now listen to me. I want God to keep on blessing us so we can teach the Bible to more people. We have many new bus routes. We added the King's Kids Ministry since I came here. Last Sunday, 147 people in King's Kids. We added the Dunamis Club. We added our men's ministry and Brother Young overseeing it. We added three new nurseries. We've got our new men's prayer breakfast. We've added 45 new Sunday school classes. We now have 55 Sunday school classes in this place. We've added three new choirs, our Baptist Baseball League and six teams, our soul-winning training course, Young Fundamentalists. You know, we spent over $1 million in improvements around here. And you say, where'd it all go? You wouldn't believe how fast it adds up. I mean, we've paid parking lot after parking lot and fixed up buildings and fixed this and fixed that. All new pews, all new electrical, all new roofs on the buildings, new gym floor, all of that. Are they at least fixing the gym floor? $1 million has been spent in 5 years fixing up this property and trying to make it a place that you could be proud of. Our Spanish ministry started, shooting for 100 next week. Our college and career ministry under Brother Williamson has been started. The Shenandoah Hospitality Ministry. I plan to keep growing. I want to keep growing. Please do vote for me if you're for old-time preaching. That's what we're going to have here. Please do vote for me if you'll realize something. I'm human. Some people get this idea, well, preacher, it's easy for you to live right. I face the same things that you face. I am a human being. When I wake up in the morning, I have bad breath and my hair sticks up in the back. Now, Brother Gillum, your hair don't stick up anywhere. I'm a human being. I must pray to my God. I must read my Bible. I must protect myself from sin. I've got to watch my pride. I've got to watch my arrogance. I've got to be careful that I don't get backslidden. You understand something? I'm a human too. And if you'll understand that, it'll help me. I'm going to make mistakes. I will mislead us someday. It's not my plan. And I beg God daily that I won't. But I will. I can't help it. I'm a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner, Brother Bob. I don't. I want to make right decisions. Oh, I beg God for wisdom to lead this church so we're not hurt and you're not hurt and we're protected. I beg God to let me see the storm coming so I can prepare for it. I beg God that we can avoid the hardships. But some of them, we're just going to have to go through them. Sometimes God just chooses that. But if you'll remember, please, I'm human. I'm not perfect. I'm just like you. I'll make mistakes. And there's some of you, I just fear it. The day I make that mistake, you're gone. Please, do vote for me if you understand I'm human. Please do vote for me. Please do. Thank you, Brother Smith. Thank you for 5 wonderful years. Many of you know when the previous pastor stays in a church, there's that fear of the oncoming pastor that the previous pastor's family would cause grief in the church. There are mixed loyalties. That's not been the case here. By the grace of God, Brother Smith, I think we have set an example for fundamentalism that it can be done. Brother June, I want you to do me a favor. I have a little gift for Brother and Mrs. Smith. Brother Smith, there are 5 gift certificates to 5 nice restaurants in the area for our 5th year anniversary. Take that back there too, and Brother Ewan. Thank you, Brother Smith, so much. This is a 5-year anniversary for more than just me. Stay with me, folks. Stay with me. Please, I ask you, please vote for me. Let me tell you something. You pray for my wife and my family and I. I believe this. I thank God for my dear sweet wife. She would never hurt anybody on purpose. I believe this. I believe God created her to be a pastor's wife. I really believe that. I think the 2 hardest positions in the local New Testament church, one is the Christian school administrator. You just can't keep parents happy when their kids are going to your school. It's almost impossible. And number 2, to being the pastor's wife. The devil attacks the pastor's family when the devil doesn't think that he can get to the pastor. That's what he does. I'm aware of that. I want you to pray for my wife. I want you to pray for my family. You see, this sermon that I preached was a bit of a contract between you and I. I called it, please don't vote for me back then. This morning, I'm here. I want to be here. I'm not trying to go anywhere. Please vote for me. Thanks to those of you that voted for me. Those of you that voted for me back then, and those of you that vote for me every week, and you just say, preacher, I'm here. It's my church. And I'm humbled by this, but you say, you're my preacher. Well, I tell you what, I love that. Brother Ed Davis, the other day I was walking into the post office, and all of a sudden I heard someone say, "Hey, preacher!" Everybody turned around. I thought it was one of our bus teenagers. And it was Ed Davis. In my heart, I thought that dignified, able man just screamed in front of everyone and claimed. He claimed me. He wasn't ashamed of me. "Today, preacher." I ran over there. I said, "How you doing, Brother Ed?" He said, "I just wanted to say hi to you. Listen, thank you. Thank you for those that voted and stuck with it. Thanks to my staff and your loyalty. I put in my staff's mailboxes. There's this place that Mrs. Owens and I like to go and get ice cream. It's called Cold Stone Creamery. Sometimes I call it Stone Cold. It's Cold Stone. Okay, Cold Stone Creamery. I always get it mixed up. But I gave all my staff this week a $5 gift certificate to go there and get some ice cream. But I thank them. Thank the original deacon board that called me here. Steve Knight, Ray Montgomery, who's in heaven. Ray MacArthur, Ronnie Shiplett, John Kidwell, Frank Shepard, who's in heaven. Mike Bajan, Tom Tennis, Jim Dula, who's going to hell, I think. But I thank them. I thank them. Please, please do vote for me. Say, Brother Owens, what does the future hold? More of the same. More of the same. Same standards. Same Bible. Same soul winning. Same type music. Same type leadership. Same type preaching. We have a new church brochure that we've printed. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's in full color. I want you to look at it. When you leave, there'll be some of these at every door. And we're going to start passing these out all over, thousands and thousands of them. We're going to go to every new subdivision built in this area. We're going to just swamp this area with the old Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church and the Old Time Gospel. Four-state area. As far as we can reach, you get one of these today as you leave. The ushers will have them. We're going to build our three-story educational building out here soon, with or without a permit. We're getting ready to build some new parking lots. Our new baseball field and concession stand. I don't know if we'll get the concession stand done this year. It's coming. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have to build a new auditorium eventually. I mean, you look at this place. It's full. We can't get everybody in here now. We're going to have new bus routes, new music groups, have some new ministries. We're going to start a nursing home ministry, and we're going to bring the people here. We already have three-minute mini buses with wheelchair lifts. Brother Ewan is going to help me to begin to organize that. We're going to start a jail ministry and a truck stop ministry. We're going to meet at the truck stops and have preaching meetings and then bring the men in here for church and Sunday school. We're going to start an addictions program for people that have addictions so we can help this area with their alcohol abuse and their drug abuse and other addictions. Brother Ewan's going to help me with these. Brother Ewan is going to move out of the school. I'm going to give up a lot of his school duties. And we're going to get a new 7th and 8th grade sponsor or homeroom teacher over there. And then Brother Ewan's coming over to the church side a little more. And he and I are working together on this. We're going to get someone new that's going to help teach our 7th and 8th grade level in our school. You say, Brother Owens, what new is coming? Well, there'll be new attacks by the devil. He may try to flood our auditorium again with thousands of gallons of water. I don't know. He'll try to ruin our unity here in the church, cause division, get us off track, try to discredit our church ministry. Will the devil run you off? You say, Brother Owens, will the devil run you off? Well, by the grace of God, he won't. By the grace of God, I'm here to stay. I speak for my wife and I and my family. I don't want to ever go anywhere again. I want to die here. I want to be buried right out here in our mausoleum. Please do vote for me. I want to be your pastor. This is what God's called me to do with the rest of my life. If
you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we invite you to the Savior. If you've never trusted Christ, get saved. If you've trusted Christ and you've never made it public, I wish you'd come so we could tell the people today. Soul winners, you know your job. Is there anybody in here that would say, "Preacher, I'm not even saved. If I died today, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not saved." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me"? Good, I see that hand. Somebody else just say, "I'm not even saved." What we're going to do is we're going to have what we call an altar call in a moment. We're all going to stay in the choir. We'll sing. The men on the platform will step off the platform and they'll stand down front at the end of each aisle. If you're not saved, you leave your seat. You walk toward the front, walk up to one of these men and you say, "I want to be saved." We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, why don't you come and we'll help you do so. If you're away from God and you need to come back, why don't you come? Recommit yourself to the Lord. Rededicate yourself. Some of you just need to come and pray for this preacher, this church. Some of you gotten backslidden and contrary. Why don't you go ahead and throw your hat in the ring and just decide, it's where God wants me, it's where I'm staying. You know something? If you were as committed to this work as I am, I'd be satisfied. I'm not fearful in saying that. If God's spoken to your heart, we'll open the altar. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Everyone stand to your feet. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Choir, sing for us if you will. You need the altar, you come. If you die today, you know for a fact that you're going to die. If not, why don't you come? Come and let us show you how to be born again. That's what church is all about. Have you gotten away from God? Come back to Him today. Come back to God today. Come back to Jesus. What's going on in your life that shouldn't be? If you're one of those with your testimony, you say, "But the ones that's hurting the church, we still love you. We're not going to take you off." Get it right. Get it right in your heart. Some of you that sit around and listen to people criticize the church, I don't understand that. We won't be long. We'll be here a few extra minutes today, but allow me that privilege on our fifth anniversary. Name taker, please write. I can read it. Be thorough. If you've been saved and never baptized, let us come. Let us baptize you today. One more time through the song. One more time. Congregation, just give us a few